Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello, everyone. I'm Harvey Brownstone, and today's special guest is currently taking Broadway by storm in her spectacular Tony Award-nominated portrayal of Sweet Sue, who most definitely puts the heat in the smash hit musical Some Like It Hot. In addition to her Tony Award nomination for Best Featured Actress in a Musical, she received an Outer Critics Circle Award nomination for Outstanding Featured Performer in a Broadway Musical. Our guest is a Broadway veteran, having appeared in 7 other Broadway shows, including The Color Purple, The Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, which earned her and her fellow cast members a Grammy Award nomination for Best Musical Theater Album, A Night with Janis Joplin, Waitress, Tina, the Tina Turner Musical, Chicago, and Chicken and Biscuits. She's also appeared in the national tours of Xanadu, The Drowsy Chaperone, The Elvis Musical, All Shook Up, Seussical the Musical, and Cinderella. And she starred in regional productions of many shows, including Hairspray, Ain't Misbehavin', and Mahalia, a gospel musical. She won an Audelco Award for Outstanding Performance in a Musical for playing Grandma and Spirit of the Booty in Bella, an American Tall Tale. On the big screen, she appeared in Sweet Little Lies, Alice, and Better Nate Than Ever. And on TV, you've seen her in Orange is the New Black, Madam Secretary, New Amsterdam, FBI, The Good Fight, Harlem, Partner Track, Run the World, and of course, who can ever forget her magnificent 2015 TV performances as Queenie in Live from Lincoln Center and Glinda in The Wiz Live. In addition to her Broadway cast albums, she's released 2 solo albums of beautiful standards, How Deep is the Ocean, and For My Mother. And she's appeared in concert with the New York Philharmonic and numerous symphony orchestras across America. After seeing Some Like It Hot during my recent trip to New York, I became obsessed with getting this fabulous woman to appear on our show. And today, despite her grueling performance schedule, she has graciously agreed to grant me this interview. I'm thrilled and very excited to welcome the wonderful Natasha Yvette Williams to our show. Natasha, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Harvey. You are extraordinary. I don't usually like hearing stuff about myself, but it was, refreshing coming from you. It's just like, wow, yeah, you did that. Let's just pat yourself on the back, celebrate. So thank you so much for reminding me that I belong here. I think sometimes we need to hear those things. So thank you.
Oh, darling, you don't just belong there. You are the boss.
Mm.
Now, you've been singing on stage since you were 3 years old in the Tiny Tots Choir at your church, and you were the first winner of the Kraft Foods New Voice of Gospel Contest. When did you first realize, Natasha, that your voice was so good that you could sing professionally, that you could make a living out of it?
I don't know that I knew I could make a living out of it until college. I knew I could do it, but I was doing it at my regional theater. I wasn't getting paid. You know, I was just doing it because I love to do it. So I didn't think it was a profession until I got to college. And in college, I was a math major, but I was interested in the play. So I always was trying to audition for those things. And when I was cast and started performing at the college level, you know, all of the time it takes to put on a production, my math started to suffer. I was like, wait a minute. We need to double major. We need to get something out of all this time I'm spending in the theater. So I ended up double majoring. And then I was like, oh, okay, this is a career. I don't know why. I just thought about, I wanted to be on television. That's what I thought entertaining people was, sitting around at home with my family, watching television. I started doing regional theater at 13 because my vice principal Reginald Innitt at the time suggested to me that I do that in my local theater, but I still didn't think it was something that I could make a living at. I thought it was something that I did to just feel free and express myself. So college was put in the idea that, no, this is a profession. We are majoring in this because we're going to New York and we're going to leave it, or we're going to California, or we're going to wherever and do this as our job. And I thought, wow.
Well, wow is the word. You sure have done it. Who were your musical influences growing up?
Oh, wow. Diana Ross, definitely. Tina Turner. Yeah, Aretha Franklin. The people on, you know, that I saw on these TV specials that I was just watching and wanted to sort of make family sit down like my family was sitting, enjoying these specials or these people. Those were my influences, definitely Aretha Franklin and Diana Ross. Because my mother wouldn't buy me records that we couldn't buy, and she wouldn't buy me albums, so I had to use all of their old ones for my parents. So everything that they liked, I fell in love with. All of my friends, when they come over and I'm putting on Al Green or I'm putting on Nina Simone, they're like, what are you doing? Why are you listening to these old people? But those were Sam Cooke, and those were my early influences that my parents used to listen to, and that's what music I fell in love with.
Well, they did you a huge favor because those roots are in you, and you absolutely transform those roots into the songs you sing now. But I got to ask you, you played Aretha Franklin in A Night with Janis Joplin. Was that intimidating for you to portray such a legend?
I don't think I had enough sense to be intimidated by it. I actually broke my foot the night before the our first audience came. So I'm listed on Broadway, the IMDb page as a replacement. So I replaced myself, but I actually originated that role, but didn't get to do it until 8 weeks later when my foot healed and the boot came off. I met Aretha Franklin during Porgy and Bess and was just so floored by her, because I've been listening to her my entire life. And it was amazing. It was not intimidating so much as it was, oh my God, I get to do all the things I've been doing in my bedroom. You know what I mean? It was just dreamlike to be able to stand in her shoes, because that's what I do, is I stand in people's shoes. I put on part of myself and part of whoever I'm taking on. And it was just an honor to play her. I did not feel intimidated. I just felt honored and grateful to be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, I know you did her justice. If you're a coffee lover like me, it's always fun to discover a great new blend. I recently found a terrific new company, Breakfast at Dominique's, that's created a series of coffee blends to honor the legacies of the greatest Hollywood legends. And I'm thrilled to tell you that now, Breakfast at Dominique's has introduced the Harvey Brownstone Talk Show Blend. It's my very own exclusive, delicious, bold, rich, balanced, medium roast coffee, and I just know you're going to love it. It's made from high quality organic beans produced using fair trade practices. If you'd like a great cup of coffee, give Breakfast at Dominique's a try and order the Harvey Brownstone Talk Show Blend at HollywoodBlends.com. They'll ship it right to your door anywhere in the world. Sipping our coffee is the perfect way to watch our show. You also performed the songs of Mahalia Jackson in a show at the Cleveland Playhouse. Did you feel you were channeling her when you were singing those songs?
There were some nights that I definitely felt like I challenged her. I felt like there was parts of the show that I didn't remember.
Really?
I did it on tour as well. And I was with Charlene Nelson and Don Corey Washington, and we would pray every night before. And I don't know, one of them prayed one night for a manifestation of God to come and be in the midst and bless the people and all this kind of stuff. And from that moment on, it seems that our performances sometimes was just infused with spirit. And it just was something that sort of took over. Mahalia Jackson's spirit and God's spirit, all of it just sort of infused with us in the production. And there were moments that I was not aware of what was happening. I just was in the moment and there. So that was an extraordinary growth period for me doing that production. Because I had to be so in touch with every moment of those songs.
you were transported by magic, I think. And you know, you've done it all: concerts, movies, TV, Broadway, recording artist. Where are you most comfortable as an artist?
I think definitely theater, with that exchange, you know, with the audience and the live moments and being able to just sort of respond and adjust to whatever happens. I love that. I'm most alive there. I'm most challenged, I think, in TV and film. I love figuring out angles and figuring out how I'm supposed to stand and what is my best light and all of those kinds of things that the director is directing. But certainly being able to hit that mark in that spot every time is a great challenge for me. And I love doing that as well.
But the exhilaration for you comes from the exchange with a live audience.
Yes, definitely.
Well,
definitely.
You've been in some of the most popular musical theater productions in recent years. If we put aside some like It Hot, which we're going to get to in a minute, what have been some of your favorite roles on the stage?
Well, definitely my Broadway debut, Sophia in The Color Purple, the original one, not the revival. That was extraordinary for me. I had like two openings. I had my opening, and then I did it when Fantasia came in. So then we had a big opening, you know, when she came in. So that was an extraordinary moment for me, because that was the realized dream. That was the pinnacle. You know, I made it to Broadway. My mother was alive at that time, and we got to celebrate all of those things together. So it was an incredible, and will always be one of the most life-changing experiences for me to play that role. I love, Color Purple was my favorite movie. Obviously I love Oprah, all those kinds of things. So that was great. Waitress was also, and I guess my mother is centered in all of that. My mother, like I said, was there for Color Purple. She passed 3 days before I opened in Waitress on Broadway. And so that one, because I felt like she was with me then as well. So that also was a very touching and memorable experience for me. Waitress, The Color Purple, and Selma God.
You know, when you're loved that much by a parent, even when they're gone, you keep feeling their love.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank God.
Absolutely. Now, Natasha, you played Mammy in Gone with the Wind in London's West End. I'm sure you're familiar with cancel culture and the movement to eliminate Gone with the Wind and other movies and shows from our cultural lexicon because of the racism in those shows, and especially because of the way they depicted slavery. As an artist, how do you feel about cancel culture?
I really don't like cancel culture. I think we should all be given the opportunity to make mistakes. And I think that sometimes we get so caught up in our feelings and important feelings, but I don't think anybody should be canceled. I think we should always have the dialogue open to be able to come back and talk about what the things that we disagree with, or the things that are offensive, the things that are misrepresenting what history is. I think we should always be allowed dialogue. And I think the arts are the place to do that. If there's a piece of literature or something that is historical, that is true, or maybe even untrue, maybe somebody's just belief, I think we should just be allowed to dialogue that, present it, and let's have an open discussion about what we think is appropriate and not, but not just X everything out. I don't particularly love the cancel culture. It's very frightening.
I'm with you on that, because I think that we need to learn from history, not cancel it. We need to keep alive the atrocities of the past and teach our children
to repeat them. Yes.
To never repeat them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Natasha, let's talk about Some Like It Hot. I have to tell you that when I heard they were going to do a musical based on the 1959 Marilyn Monroe movie, I was skeptical because I couldn't imagine how they could make the story relevant for today's audiences. What was your reaction when you first heard about the show?
Well, I love the movie. So I was like, oh, great. And my only concern was, oh, I don't want to make fun of men putting on dresses. You know what I mean? And when we got to rehearsal, the intentions of our creative team were very clear. I was so excited that no one was interested in that being a joke. You know what I mean? No one was interested in that. And we're certainly aware, very aware and conscious of shows that had men in drag before and that had not necessarily done so well or hit the mark with the people, with the audience. So we were very intentional about a message that was clear. This is a funny story, but not because of that. That's not the joke. The joke is not, I'm going to put on a dress as a man and make fun of being a woman, or those kinds of things. It wasn't about that. So I was very excited when I got there to learn of the intention and the creative drive and direction that we were taking.
Now, you play Sweet Sue, the band leader of the all-female band. Your character, mm-hmm. for me, really establishes the emotional foundation for the show. You open the show with a big production number, What Are You Thirsty For? You close the first act with another big production number, Some Like It Hot. You look like you're having the time of your life on that stage.
I absolutely am. It is an opportunity for me to show almost everything that I do. There are still some things left, but I can sing, I can move, I can dance. I'm gonna even say I can dance, and I can be funny, and I can be serious. Some Like It Hot is an opportunity for me to just have a real human experience every night on stage. And the joy that I have, the love that I have, the pain that I have, the fears that I have, all of those things are wrapped up into this story. And not just for me, but for every character that you come to meet when you come to see Some Like It Hot.
I'm just amazed by your stamina. How in the world do you maintain that supercharged high energy level throughout the entire show for 8 shows a week?
Well, I don't know. During like Tony season and all of those, that monster of a schedule, I was getting B12 shots to sort of help me have some energy. But I think the love of what I do just sort of makes me keep coming back. Once we start getting to the theater, sometimes it's hard when I'm tired. But once I'm there and we start, it's joy. It's really joy, joyful. And I love it.
Now, Sweet Sue is a boss lady. She's the boss.
Yeah.
How much of the real Natasha have you incorporated into Sweet Sue?
I think it's about 30%. And 30% is like my aunts and uncles. And 30% is just researching conductors, female conductors from that time period. I'm definitely a boss at my, you know, in my life and in my space. So I get to absorb some of those qualities that I have into Sue. So it's a real joy to play her.
Now, the message of the show is all about inclusivity and everyone's right to be their true, authentic self. The New York Times review said the show is, I'm quoting them here, an invitation to a new and intersectional stage of liberation. How important was that message and the intentionality of the writers in the way you and the other cast members were creating and preparing your roles?
It was vital. It was vital. Like I said, day one, we talked about their intention and drive and idea to sort of say something current with this production while honoring the classic film and story and the classic artist that began this journey, to say some things that they could not say in 1959 with this movie, to say something different than had been said with Sugar and in any other forms that this show had taken. But it was very clear that we wanted to invite people to the space, understanding that they belonged in the space, whoever you are, you belong in the space, and that there is validity in our differences, and that was just on everybody's lips. They voiced it, we felt it, we received it, and then we got to put it into the characters that we were building.
Well, since I mentioned the New York Times review, I should also point out that the reviewer said that you, Natasha Yvette Williams, knocked it out of the park. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
I got to tell you, I was watching the Tony Awards and you looked gorgeous. You looked happy.
Yeah.
I wanted you to win. But you know what? I think when we saw the performance during that show, I was sitting with people who had not been to New York and had not seen it. Mm-hmm. And you just stole the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, as you well know, the show doesn't just deal with the freedom of gender identity expression. It deals with racism. There's the racism demonstrated against Jerry when he's not welcome to appear on stage with Joe, his white dancing partner and adopted brother. And your character, Sweet Sue, experiences racism and sexism when the locals try to cheat her. I love your line when somebody asked you why the band isn't touring down south and you say, it's 1933, look at me and ask that again.
Right.
The show really has a lot to say. And even though it takes place in the 30s, it's very current and relevant to the world we're living in right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And it's not bang you over the head with everything. Just something as simple as that line lets you know what time period we're in, how we're aware of how we have to move through the space and through the country at that time without beating people over the head, without saying anything, without preaching to people. So I think that the writers have done a very good job at dropping those little nuggets, helping us to realize where we are and the time period, and to say something about how we feel about those particular issues and the things that we come up against during those times. Yeah.
When I was in the audience of your show last month, there was a tremendous feeling of warmth, and the energy was full of love and optimism and joy. I haven't felt that way sitting in the audience of a show since I saw the original La Cage aux Folles back in the 80s. I've been dying to ask you, Natasha, when you're on that stage and the audience is reacting to your performance and going wild after every number, and especially at the end during the bows and the curtain calls, can you feel the love that we are all sending you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we love to feel it. I think last night, aside from maybe the night after the Tony nominations were announced, or maybe Tony wins. The audience last night was the loudest, most present audience what we've ever had. And they've all been loud and present. But last night, from the, like, we holding to complete lines or repeating lines because we know nobody heard them because it was so loud. You know, it was incredible. But we feel that energy every time. We feel it when it's a little more subdued. Say maybe the audience is a little older and they're quieter. But we definitely go on a journey together, the audience and us, and we definitely feel everything that you're giving back. And it sort of propels us to sort of reach new heights sometimes, or to just sink into certain moments. But it's a great exchange. That's one of the reasons I love live theater. Yeah.
Is it difficult to come down and relax after such an exhilarating performance every night?
No, because I'm so tired. You know what I mean? I'm literally tired. But the audience and the journey of the show dissipates all of that. But when it's over, then I feel it. So no, I can wind down and go to bed.
That's a blessing. Not everybody can do that.
Yes, it is. No, I think I had a professor, Dr. H.D. Flowers, who used to say, "Let's leave madness. We're not gonna bring anything off the stage with us." And I internalized that to sort of, yes, let's be all in while we're there. And then when it's done, it's done. We're going to leave it. If you can go play a murderer, but you're not going to have those thoughts coming with you after. Let's just leave it. So I've sort of trained myself to sort of be able to turn that on and off when I'm on stage. And it's been a blessing to me because I don't have to take things with me.
Yeah, it's very healthy, actually.
Yeah.
I understand that there's a very strong feeling of friendship and unity and closeness among the members of the cast. Have you become good friends with your co-stars?
I absolutely have. We love hanging out with each other. And everybody's so funny and warm, and they want to be at work. I don't know if it's attributed to the cast that Casey Nicholaw has assembled. I think it's a lot to do with that. We are very mature people. Even our younger people are just as concerned about giving a great show and giving 100% every time you're on there. But it's also, I think, attributed to the period that we're coming out of in terms of the pandemic recently, us probably being recently back, so that we're so grateful to just sort of be in the space and be able to commune together. So that's, and that testing every day in the beginning certainly bind us in a certain way too. So I think we just have the benefit of all of the time and the intersectionality of coming together at this time with these people. It's great.
It's recently been announced that the show is going on a national tour starting in the fall of 2024. Would you ever consider going on tour with the show?
I would go probably anywhere with this show. The tour, that type of tour would probably be difficult for me just because of my kids. I have a set of twins that are 12, but I'm very interested. I'm going to say this publicly too, very interested in going to London when they decide to go to London to do it. I would love for my kids to study over there abroad. So
wouldn't that be an amazing experience for them?
I think so. I don't know if they would love it because I'm, you know, in terms of when I say, let's leave your school and your friends right now. Let's go here for you. But I think eventually, yes, they would think it would be a great idea.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear this because I want to see you do that show again. And I'd love to go to London and see you do it at on the West End.
Come on, Harvey. Listen, nobody's asked me to do that yet. So I'm just putting it out there. So hopefully they'll hear this and think, I got that.
I'm going to make sure they hear it. Leave it to me, baby. Now, in our remaining moments, I just have to mention your albums, How Deep is the Ocean and For My Mother, which I absolutely love. They're just magnificent. Okay. How did you go about selecting the songs for those albums?
Well, For My Mother was definitely any songs that my mother either sang to me or took me to see or that she loved, all except for one, which was a song that the Glenn Robin, who was our producer at the time, he wrote that song. So that was all of those songs came from shows that she loved or that I loved with her. So that those are the songs for My Mother. And the How Deep is the Ocean were just songs that I like to sing, basically. I don't know. So yeah, all of those things, just things I like.
I read somewhere that you were planning to record a gospel album. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. I recorded one, but it was like a long time ago and I like did it. I didn't do it in my own basement or whatever, but it just felt like it was not a fully fleshed out project. So I'd love to do that. I've certainly gotten sidetracked, but I'm going to go back to that because I wrote a movie. So I'm writing, I wrote a movie and I'm sort of focusing on that right now, but I do want to get back into the studio and sort of just sing.
Is the movie a musical?
The movie is not a musical. The movie is about, it's influenced by Mamie Peanut Johnson, who was a woman who played baseball in the Negro Leagues with the men. And there were three women who played, and it's about her journey into the Negro League and the simultaneous demise of Black businesses during that time. So it was set in 1947 to 1953. And so that's what the movie is about. So it's not a musical, but there is some music there.
That's a very topical movie. You know, they just came out with Sweetwater.
Yes.
Which was about basketball. I think the premise of your movie is very timely. And is there a role in it for you?
Yes, I'm going to play the lead character's aunt.
Oh, wow. This is just so exciting, except that means you're eventually going to leave Some Like It Hot, and that's kind of sad.
We're going to film it, you know, in a couple of, maybe a month. I think it can be filmed in like 4 weeks. And yeah, I'll just take a leave and come back.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting. Promise me that you'll come back to our show to promote the movie when it comes out.
Oh, definitely, Harvey. That would be a dream of mine, too. Yes, let's do that.
I want to tell our viewers that you can follow Natasha Yvette Williams on Facebook, Instagram, and she has her own YouTube channel as well. Well, Miss Natasha Yvette Williams, I have so enjoyed meeting you and having this opportunity to talk about your career and your amazing performance in Some Like It Hot. I can't even imagine how exhausted you must be. You're raising twins, 12 years old, and you're doing 8 shows a week. All of us here at our show very much appreciate you taking the time to appear on our show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Our guest has been the magnificent Natasha Yvette Williams, currently starring in the spectacular and exhilarating Broadway musical, Some Like It Hot, now playing at the Schubert Theater. You can find out more about the show and order tickets by going to the show's website, somelikeithotmusical.com. My name is Harvey Brownstone. Thank you to my producer, Steve Silver, my director of programming, Deborah Batsafin, my PR director, Laurie Towers, and my entire team at the XPTV1 network in the UK. Thank you all for joining us. See you next time.
Thanks for watching. Be sure to check out all the great interviews on the Harvey Brownstone Interviews YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe and ring the bell to be notified when new videos are posted.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.